Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Okay. Hey, just want to always remember, before we jump in the message, I'd always like to tell us, and we're going to do this weekly throughout the year, reminding us what the mission of our church is. Why do we do this? Because here's the what can happen in churches if you're not careful. We can fall into this routine of maintenance, where all we do is we maintain, we get through another week. We just try to get by. Will everything work out for another week? How many people know God's plan isn't for us just to maintain? Amen? But God's plan is for the church to rise up, the church to be on a mission, and the mission is to change the world. The mission for all churches really comes from one statement. It's called the Great Commission, okay? And here's how we interpret the Great Commission for us as a church. Our Great Commission is simply, hey, we're going to go and proclaim Jesus Christ, amen? And then we're going to help people grow in their faith with God. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to simplify it, boil it down to two words. Does anybody remember what those two words are from about 2 weeks ago? I'll give you $5. No, I won't give you anything. But does anybody remember the two words? Go and what?
Grow.
So that's what we're all about. We're going to be more intentional about that this next year in 2019. Go and grow, go and grow. I'm really looking forward to the new year. The new year is going to start kind of different for us. There's about 10 of us going on a missions trip to Honduras, leaving on, I think it's on, is it a Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
A Friday the 10th of January. When you guys are here freezing, we're going to be there in shorts and tank tops and wearing hats so we don't get sunburned closer to the equator, okay? And we're just going to have a great, great time. We're going to be building a church that's going to be used for a school. We'll be gone for 10 days, okay? So I won't be here. Somebody even better than myself will be here sharing the Word of God with you. It's going to be so awesome. Don't miss. But when I get back, the messages in 2019 are going to be a lot more intentional. Everything I do is going to be with greater intention. And one of the first sermon series that we're going to do the day we get back from Honduras that Sunday is we're going to start about a 4 to 5 week series on relationships, okay? On relationships, and I just got the resources that I'm going to be using for that series. It's just dynamic, and I want to encourage us where our goal in this series is how can we love like Jesus loves? How can we love like Jesus? And I want to encourage you, this will be a great series for marriages. This will be a great series for raising kids. This will be a great series for just all of your relationships, whoever you're in relationship. How can I learn to love like Jesus? And I believe that's God's heart for us as a church because there's a lot of people, myself included at times, we struggle in this dynamic of how do you have healthy relationships. So we're going to help you out, and then we're going to go to another series that God's already laid on my heart. So there's about four series out there where we already have a plan of where we're going, and it's just going to be an awesome, awesome new year. So I want to encourage you. Let's get on board. Let's not just be casual attender. Let's get engaged with what God wants to do in you and through you. Amen? Amen. So that's our mission. Well, today what we're going to do, can everybody just say hi to your neighbor real quick? Talk to them for a second. I had to get something out of my coat pocket. Okay. So we're going to start this new series today, and so here's what we're going to do. This is going to be our series for the Christmas season. It's called Four Names, One Child. Everybody, let's say that together. Four Names, One Child. And what we're going to do in this series is we're simply going to go and we're going to look at the four names. Some people say they were the four titles that were given to Jesus, and here's the incredible thing about this. These four names, these four titles were given to Jesus some 800 years before he was born. How many people find that to be incredible in itself? 800 years before the birth of Jesus, we get these four names that are going to describe two things. They're going to tell us who Jesus is, and then they're going to tell us, hey, why did Jesus come? And it's just going to be a great time. We're going to start today. And then what we're going to do is we're going to end the series on Christmas Eve. That day we're going to have a service at 4 o'clock. Please take a postcard. Please invite somebody to come. We want them to be here, okay? So what we're going to do in our series is we're going to look at one verse, and our verse is going to be the book of Isaiah. So if you want to open your Bible, it's about the middle of the Bible. We're going to open up to Isaiah chapter 9, a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's a prophetic word of Isaiah talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, okay? So we're going to read Isaiah 9, 6. But before we read Isaiah 9, verse 6, here's what we need to do, is we need to have some context. I think it's very dangerous when you look at verses and you pull out just one verse, and the danger is you can make that verse try to say what you want it to say. So we try to stay away from that, and what we do is we try to take a verse in the context in which it was originally written, okay? There's power in being able to do that. For us to really understand Isaiah 9:6, you got to do some background, and you got to go into chapter 8. You got to go back to chapter 8. And it's there in chapter 8 that this prophet, whose name is Isaiah, gets this word from God. And this word is to be given to his chosen people, the Jews, okay? And he's telling them, hey, in a short time, you're going to be invaded by this powerful Assyrian army. There's going to be an army that's going to come upon you. And this invasion is going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible for the Jewish people, especially for those living in what we know today as the northern region of the Promised Land. It was going to be really bad. So how bad would it be? Let's go to the next slide. Let's see what it says. This is how bad it will be. It says, they will look up to heaven, and they will look down at the earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble, there will be anguish and dark despair. It sounds like a hee-haw song. Trouble, anguish, and dark despair. They will be thrown down into the darkness. So what we want you to see here is God's people at this moment in history are at a very, very bad place. They're at a place where there's no hope. They're hopeless, okay? So with that in mind, what we're going to do now, if you have your Bible open, let's read the first five verses of chapter 9, okay? So follow along with me. It reads in verse 1, nevertheless, remember, there's a battle coming, there's a war coming. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time, everybody say a time, in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. Verse 2, these people who walk in darkness, they will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Verse 3, you will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. That's victory, okay? Verse 4. Next verse. Let's just go to the next verse. I'm sorry, that you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod as you did as you destroyed the army of Midian. Then verse 5, it says, the boots of the warriors and the uniforms bloodstained by war will be burned. Why? Because the war, the battle's going to be over. There's light at the end of the tunnel. They will be fuel for the fire. So let's just stop right there. What do we see in these first five verses? We see in these first five verses that in spite of their current reality was darkness, hopelessness, very difficult times. In spite of that dark reality, how many people know there were better days ahead? I want to stop real quick. Let's do some quick application. There's some people in this room this morning that are going through very challenging times. Things aren't working out the way you thought they should work out. This isn't the way you scripted your life. You're seeing despair. You're seeing darkness. You're seeing difficulty. I want to let you know that with Jesus Christ in your life, how many people know your best days are ahead? Can I get an amen? I don't care what you're going through. It could be really bad. And you say, well, you don't know how bad it is at my house. You don't know how bad it is in my marriage. You don't know how bad it is with my kids. You don't know how bad it is at work. I want to let you know that if you have Jesus Christ, I want everybody to say this. My best days are ahead. And somebody needs to hear that this morning. your best days are ahead. And why is that? Because the same thing is true of us that was true of the people in the book of Isaiah. And here's why. Let's look at the next verse. This is the game changer. The prophet says this, and this is one of our favorite Christmas verses. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called. Can we read these four names together, everybody together? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So let's just keep that slide up there. Let me ask you this question. Who is Isaiah the prophet referring to? Jesus. Everybody say that. Who's he referring to?
Jesus.
So what he's saying here is, I know right now that there is trouble, anguish, and dark despair, but I want to let you know there's a day when there's one coming whose name is Jesus. And even though there's this dark despair and there's this anguish and there's this trouble, how many people know that in Jesus we have great hope? Amen? There's great hope, okay? And there's great hope because Jesus is coming. And what we're going to do in the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at, or the next four times we get together, we're going to look at these four names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And what I want to do today is I want to look at this first name. Can everybody say that first name together? Everybody together. Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. So what I want to do is, I'm a simple-minded person. Let's look at that name. Let's break it into two simple pieces. The first piece is wonderful. What does the word wonderful mean? Okay, these are in your notes, by the way. They're on the other side of your information sheet. Wonderful. Everybody say that together. Wonderful. Look at your neighbor and say, wonderful. Well, you guys, come on, man. Say wonderful. Okay. Hey, you guys got to be with me this morning, okay? I really need your encouragement this morning. It's how many people have those nights when you wake up and you look at the clock and you think it's about 5 in the morning, it's only 2? Has anybody ever had a day like that? You wake up and it's like, oh my goodness. I better be able to fall back asleep, right? Well, I want to let you know, I had one of those nights last night, and usually what I do is I fight it, and I try to sit there, and I try not to make a lot of noise and do a lot. I don't want to wake Heather up, okay? But last night, I gave in at 4 o'clock. I finally said, I'm getting out of bed, and what I did is I snuck my clothes on, and I snuck out our door of our house, and which is very hard because it's real squeaky. You can't sneak in or out of our house. It's been really great with teenagers. But I tell you what, when you're trying to sneak out at 4 o'clock in the morning, it gets a little challenging. So last night I snuck out, and I was over here about, I just came over here about, I was here by 4:30, a little between 4 and 4:30, and just praying over this message and just believing that God wants to do something special in somebody's life. So what I'm saying is I'm kind of a little worn out, but we're going to have a great time this morning. Amen? We're going to have a great time this morning. So what I want to do is I want to look at this Wonderful Counselor, because, you know, you look at these banners across the sanctuary, and we put these up every Christmas. This is a verse that we hear every Christmas. It's a very popular verse talking about the coming of the Christ. And those words can become very, you know, we just fall into a routine. They become trite. They become just kind of normal. But I want to let you know these names are nothing. Are they anything but normal? They're anything but normal. And you say, well, those words were given to us probably about 3,000 years ago. Well, I want to let you know God's word is relevant today in the year 2018. When Jesus is given a name, it wasn't only for those people, it's for us here. As we sit here in 2018, God wants to speak to some people. And today what he wants to speak to us is he wants us to know that you have a Wonderful Counselor. You have a Wonderful Counselor. So let's look at that word, wonderful. And I want to look at the word wonderful. That has a lot of different meanings wherever you use it, but I want to use the word wonderful in the text in which it was written, the context, okay? And really, it comes down to there's three different definitions. These are in your notes. First of all, wonderful means incomprehensible. I want to let you know that Jesus, you can't comprehend the fullness of who Jesus is. Amen? He's incomprehensible. He's so much bigger than our small mind, which is actually a very vast mind, can comprehend. He's incomprehensible. Number two, Jesus is beyond understanding. He's beyond understanding. I mean, we can't understand the fullness of Christ. Just about the time you think you got it figured out who Jesus is, he comes and he shows us more of who he is. I mean, he is beyond understanding. That's who Jesus is. And number three, and I love this one, he's full of wonder. Jesus is full of wonder. I mean, wherever you turn and whenever you look at the life of Jesus, you see that he was full of wonder. For example, we see that he was full of wonder. In the next slide, we see that Jesus was full of wonder. He showed his wonder through his virgin birth. How many people know that's not an everyday occurrence, a virgin birth? I think I've only heard of it one time. Jesus, a virgin birth that shows his wonder. We also see Jesus' wonder through he has this power to heal. That's why we pray this morning. That's why we pray for Leah, because we believe that our God has the power to heal. Amen? And some people said, well, I prayed before and nothing happened. Well, what happens when that occurs in our life is we have a tendency to give up. And I have found out that it's not my responsibility to heal. That's God's responsibility. Amen? My responsibility is to ask. So we come and we pray for healing for Leah because God can do those things. We also see the wonder of Jesus in his teachings. Jesus taught like no one else. It said he taught with all power and authority. I mean, he was just like no other teacher. We also see the wonder of Jesus, and this is really what the cross is all about, his perfect life. How many people know it was absolutely necessary for Jesus to live a perfect life? Amen. He was the spotless Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. The only way that God could look upon Jesus is because he was without sin. And he was without sin, he led a perfect life. And then we see the wonder of Jesus every Easter. We celebrate the fact of his resurrection from the dead. I mean, can you put your mind around the fact that a guy that was dead is now alive? Amen? And he's living in us. And because he's been raised, we can be raised. So how many people would agree that Jesus is pretty wonderful? Come on now. How many people would... Okay, let's go now. How many people believe that Jesus is wonderful? He's beyond comprehension. He's beyond understanding. He's full of wonder. He's full of wonder. So we see that in those areas, but there's one other way that we see the wonder of Jesus, and we see that in this title this morning, that he is the wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. Everybody say counselor together. I just wanted to hear you say that, counselor. Okay, I said counselor. Now let's put on our thinking cap, and let me ask you a question. What was the very first thing that came into your mind when you heard the word counselor? Don't say it out loud because I just don't want you to, okay? Counselor, everybody just say that again, counselor. What's the first thing that came in your mind? Just begin to think. What's the first thing that came through my mind when I said counselor? I think for a lot of people, and really for guys, I can't speak for women. I'll speak for the male gender. When I hear the word counselor, especially somebody that's in their 50s now, I got to admit, the first thing I think of when I think of counselor is the word weakness. Weakness. I think weak people need counselors. By the way, I say that's how I used to think. When I think of the word counselor, I think, well, I must have to go to a counselor because there's obviously something in my life that's broken. Something's not working, so it would be great humility for me to make an appointment and say, hey, I need to come and see you. I need a counselor. It shows there's weakness in my life. There's brokenness in my life. For years, my first response to counselor would be, not me. You know, I've got to be very transparent. There's times when Heather would say, maybe we need to go see a counselor. And when guys hear their wife saying that we need to go see a counselor, the first thing the guy does is what? Not me. I'm not broke. Nobody's going to tell me how to live life. But that's the first thing we think of. And I tell you what, as I get older, I'm getting wiser. But I want to let you know it's taking a little longer for me than some of you. But this is one thing I've come to see is this. Everybody look and lean in. We're all broke. Right? We're all broke. No one's batting 1,000. No one's got it together in every single area of your life. Yeah, you may have it together in finances, but you stink at relationships. Or you may have it together in relationships. You are the relationship guru, but when it comes to work, you stink. So what I'm trying to figure out in life is, you know what? The wisdom is, and I've been listening to these sermons on, I've been listening to podcasts, these sermons on podcasts, and I've been listening to these guys that are pastoring thousands. And one of the messages I've been hearing throughout the year is this. All these great pastors, you know what they do? They have a counselor. They have a counselor. You think, no, Judah Smith has a counselor. Yeah, he has a counselor. Rich Wilkerson has a counselor. Yes, he has a counselor. And what they're figuring out is that there's dark sides. We all have dark sides. We all have sides that are broken. We all have blind spots. And what we try to do is we try to fool ourselves. And what we need is we need a counselor. If Mike Bechtel were wise and not cheap, you know what I'm talking about? He would go and see a counselor. Because we all have shadows. I read a book on leadership health that talks about we have shadows. We have areas where nobody else can see or we can't see. But we need to go to a counselor. So back in this original context, when it talks about counselors, what was a counselor? Well, in ancient Israel, a counselor was usually a wise king. And how many people know the wisest king to ever live in the history of Israel was who? Solomon. And what a wise king would do is he would come and he would give the people guidance. So people would come to him with the question, should I go east or west? And he'd say, go west, young man. Or they would ask, should I go north or south? And he'd go south where it's warmer, okay? Or you know what he's saying. So people would come, and this king would be so wise. And people would line up. There would be lines, and we read about this in the life of Moses. There would be lines of people. All day, Moses would hear the stories of people. And what he was doing is he was providing them with counsel. He was providing them with guidance, because that's what wise kings, they would provide guidance. So the truth is that all of us need counsel. All of us need guidance. That's why there's several different types of counseling that are available. There's marriage and family counseling. By the way, I've never been to a marriage or family counselor, but how many people know that's a very healthy thing? Amen? It would be great. There's career counseling. People in the maybe middle of their career want to go see a counselor. Should I try something different? There's rehabilitation counselor. There's mental health counseling. We don't like to talk about that one in church, but that's a very real issue in today's world. More and more people are dealing with mental health issues. There's counseling available. There's substance abuse counseling. There's educational counseling. For example, when Grant was a freshman in college, he went to college to be a CPA, a certified public accountant. He went into accounting. He found out real early that that wasn't him. He found out real early he wasn't going to be able to sit in a cubicle and crunch numbers. What did he do? DePaul University, like a lot of great universities, they offer what? Counselors. So you go and you sit before the counselor, and the counselor begins to ask you questions. What do you like? What do you enjoy to do? And they totally took him out of that finance field and put him elsewhere. How many people know counseling could be a great, great thing? Amen? Is anybody convinced yet? Counseling can be a great thing. And I want to let you know, counseling comes from a lot of different directions. How many people know some of the best counselors are parents? And all the parents said, amen. And all the kids said, not sure. But all the kids, I want to tell you, your parents are great counselors, amen? They are awesome counselors. They've been there, they've done it. How many people know in-laws can even be good counselors? And everybody's like, oh, let's move on quickly, okay? Here's other types of counselor. Friends provide counsel. Teachers provide counsel. Coaches provide counsel. Listen to this. The media tries to offer counsel. How many people know a complete stranger offers counsel? And listen, guys, everybody listen. Pastors provide counsel. By the way, free of charge. Free of charge, okay. But anyway, and here's another thing about counseling. Sometimes it's solicited. Meaning sometimes we go and we ask somebody to help us. But there's other times where counsel is unsolicited. Has anybody ever received unsolicited counsel before? By the way, that could be good or bad. It could be because they love you so much. They see that you're on a dead-end road. They want to help you. But then there's other people that they just feel like that's their responsibility to help the world out. Amen? So there's those type of counsels. But at the end of the day, here's the biggest thing I want us to hear this morning. Here's the big takeaway I want you to hear this morning, and that is that there's really two types of counsel. Number one type of counseling is there's good, wise counsel. And number two, there is what we could call bad, unwise counsel. So I want everybody to hear me quickly here this morning. We need to be careful. We need to be extremely careful where we turn to for counseling. Does everybody hear me? I have a bone to pick, but I don't have enough time to do it. We need to be very careful where we turn for counseling. We need to be very careful what and who we are listening to. I want you to hear my heart as a pastor. You need to be careful who you're listening to, what you're listening to. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, what happens? They both fall into a pit, a ditch. So I want to let you know, when it comes to counseling, you need to be very careful who you're listening to and what you're listening to. Because if you receive bad counseling, there can be negative consequences. There can be negative outcomes that last a long time. So you need to be very wise, very diligent to make sure that who you're going to for advice, counsel, guidance, you need to make sure it's good. Because bad counseling can put you even further back. But on the other hand, if you receive good counsel and you act upon the good counseling, how many people know there can be very positive outcomes? Here's the thing I love about counseling. Counseling can even take a bad situation and turn it into a good situation. But the key is you need to make sure who you're listening to. And I can't say this enough today in our culture. It's amazing who church people are listening to. It's amazing. And we got to be very careful who we listen to, because their counsel can really make or break your life. And I want to just suggest to you, we need to make sure that we're getting wise counsel. Wise counsel. I want you to be people that are getting wise counsel. So where do we go to for wise counseling? Anybody have any suggestions? Who do we go to for wise counseling? Okay, that's awesome. You got ahead of me. Unfair, okay? Everybody say Jesus. Because what is Jesus? He is the what? Wonderful counselor. But here's the deal. You say, well, how does that work? How do I go to Jesus for counseling? Do I call him and say, hey, Jesus, can you meet me down at Caribou on Wednesday at 3 o'clock? I'll buy you a coffee. There's a couple things we need to talk about. No, that's not going to happen. By the way, if Jesus did walk in, everybody would be like, whoa, can we come to your table? But how many people know that's just not the way it works? It's just, of course, it doesn't work that way. So how do we meet with Jesus? How do we get counsel from Jesus? I'm going to give you three quick things, and we're going to be done in about 4 minutes. Number one, first thing is this, the way to get counseling from Jesus, hit the next, there we go, through his word. How many people know the best counseling that you can receive free of charge is by you reading the word of God?
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
How many people really believe that? If you really believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Think about it. Do I really believe that this book provides counsel? I want to let you know the answer is yes. Let's read one verse. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. The Word of God provides us that teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. We need to go to the Word. That's why we just encourage you. We don't encourage you to read the Word just for something to do. We encourage you because the truth that's in this book provides you with amazing counsel. That if you'll follow this counsel, you won't end up in a ditch. But if you follow this counsel, you end up in life, abundant life. Amen?
Amen?
So I want to encourage you. Where do you go for counseling? Through the Word. Here's a second place you go for counseling is through other believers. Through other believers. By the way, you're going to see your notes don't line up here at all. So don't worry about that. That's a 4 a.m. change in the plan, okay? New insight. Through other believers. And I want to say wise believers. I want to suggest, and listen very carefully, for counseling, why don't you go to someone who's already been where you are? Why don't you go to somebody who's already been where you are? For example, if you're a newlywed, you're in year one of marriage and it's not working out. You're fighting, you're bickering, things just didn't seem to be the way you thought they would be. How many people know a wise counselor would be somebody that might be in year 5, 10, 15 of a healthy marriage? You know what I'm talking about? Wouldn't it be just common sense? Hey, go and ask that person for counsel. For example, if you're a first-time parent and your baby is crying at night and you thought, what's this all about? Or your baby's sick and you're wondering what's happening. How many people know there's a lot of parents who have raised several kids? Why don't you go to those people and ask for counsel? They'll give you direction. Maybe your teenager's misbehaving. And you know somebody who raised teenagers. And they've raised teenagers successfully. Why don't you seek their counsel? Or maybe you're a first-time home buyer and you're going to go get a loan and maybe you're not sure what to do, why don't you go seek the counsel of someone who's already been there? See, there's a lot of things that we face that other people have already faced many times. That's why one of my favorite counselors, hands down for me, is my dad. How many people have a dad like my dad that you just think he knows everything? How many people know he does know everything? And the reason why they know everything is because they've been there, they've done it. They got the T-shirt. Okay? And I want to encourage you. Why aren't we using these people who have gone before us? Here's another one. Or there may be areas where you're struggling. Why don't you go to the person who's already had victory in that area? Maybe you have a problem with alcohol, but you know somebody that had that problem, but now they're having victory. They're celebrating sobriety. Why aren't we going to these people that God places in our lives that they've already been down that road? And sometimes we're afraid to ask them questions. I guarantee you those people would be honored. Those people would be honored if you said, hey, can you give me some help in this area? I'm thinking about quitting a job. Somebody else who's been down that road before, you say, hey, can you help me? Give me some good counsel. God has placed people in our lives that we just need to listen to. Okay? And I just want to add one little side note before we go on to the third point, and that is, if people are going to offer you counsel that doesn't line up with the Word of God, you might want to say thank you, but no thank you. Does that make sense? If people are going to give you counsel that doesn't line up with God's word, you might want to say, hey, I appreciate your time, but because this book is always right, it supersedes every other bit of counseling. Amen? And I just want us to get that in our heart. We're going too many wrong places, and people are ending up in a ditch. The third way we get counsel from Jesus is simply by listening with an open heart and with an open mind. And I just want to share with you that, hey, if you're going to come, you need to come to Jesus and you're going to ask him a question. Sometimes you just need to sit and you need to be quiet and you need to listen and not talk. How many people know God speaks to our hearts? Amen?
Amen.
He speaks to our hearts. So I want to encourage you today that Jesus promised that he'll be our wonderful counselor. And he's always going to lead us in the way that's right, in the way that's correct, the way that's best. It may not always be easy or popular. So let me ask you this in closing. Is there an area of your life where you just seem like you're in a hopeless situation and you need some good counseling, you need some good direction? I want to encourage you today to make sure that you're going to Christ, to Jesus first in your time of need.
Amen.
Can we bow our heads this morning? So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, that we can come to your word for counsel, that we can come to your word for direction. Lord, that we can go to other believers, that we can come and hear from you. And Lord, I just pray for that person today that might be going through a challenging time in their life. I pray that they'll hear from you and that you'll lead them and guide them and direct them in what you would have them to do. And Father, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, I just really feel like I just need to say one last thing. If you're struggling in an area of your life, don't try to figure it out all on your own. Get some counseling. Amen?